is here. It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the fantasy football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Brees throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Todd DeBreeze and Bill Enright are the fantasy football champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. We are heading into Week 8 of the 2013 NFL season. I'm Bill Enright. With me, as always, is Todd DeVries. And Todd, it was a chaotic, carnage, disastrous, slaughterhouse week of injuries this past weekend.
Bill, Halloween hit early in the world of fantasy football because it was just a horrific weekend filled with injuries.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
A lot of guys fell and couldn't get up, Bill. And all of us, especially those of us that play in multiple leagues, we're all affected by this. And, you know, right now, you know, it's time to buckle down, take a look at the waiver wire. Hopefully you've drafted the key positions, running back.
Hello.
And, you know, hopefully this doesn't hit you too hard. It's hitting everybody across the league, all across your league. So if you're out there listening to the show and you're just thinking, oh, my God, I can't believe I have more injuries to deal with. Everyone in your league is dealing with the same stuff, you know.
And that's what the key to remember is, Todd. That's a great point that you bring up. If you only made it through, you know, even the last couple of weeks, Randall Cobb, Julio Jones, two, three weeks ago, if you made it through those kind of injuries with just one, it's not so bad. But chances are some people in your league, you know, dealing with two or three injuries, plus there's six teams on bye this week. The Ravens, the Bears, the Texans, Colts, Chargers, and Titans all have the weekend off.
And what is the deal with that? And maybe this is a good time to introduce our esteemed producer, Kevin Collins.
What up?
Why does the NFL, Kevin, have like two teams on bye 1 week and then six teams on bye the next?
I don't know. That makes no sense to me. But it screws us all over.
I just don't get it.
Next time I'm with Raj down in NYC, I'll let you know the lowdown. next time he has me
RG.
Over. Yeah, next time he has me over, you know, for cigars in his hot tub, I'll run that one by him.
Cigars in his hot tub?
Yeah, we sit in the hot tub, you know, the whirlpool, and smoke some cigars, have some scotch.
You and some old men in a hot tub?
No, just me and Raj, you know, a little one-on-one time.
You have your arm around him?
Awkward.
Don't go that far. I mean, he sits on one side, I sit on the other.
You whisper sweet nothings into his ear? Hey, Raj.
I love scotch. Scotch is got scotch. Here it goes down into my belly.
You know, Kevin always takes us down evil paths on this radio show.
I'm serious. He likes me. I shook his hand once when he was up here. So we had a moment, you know. So, you know, next time he had that look like, you know, one day you're going to work for me. So maybe, you know, maybe when I'm a big shot down at the league office, you know, making plays down there, this is something I can work on with the Raj.
There should never be six teams on a bye in 1 week. The last 2 weeks, we've had two teams, and now all of a sudden six? It's like a big uppercut to the draw.
It also affects, I believe, Bill's slate of 4 o'clock games. God forbid that they mess with the 4 o'clock wave.
Kevin, usually Bill doesn't get riled up until like an hour and a half into the show.
Yeah, when I'm cranky.
But that topic right there, you just got him riled up 4 minutes into the show.
Well, I didn't even look at the 4 o'clock games yet.
I haven't either. But just now that we're talking about the byes, I mean, how many games can there be with, you know, all these teams on the bye?
I'll tell you what. Another thing that's pissing me off is this Thursday night game with the Panthers and the Bucks. No, there's 4 games 4 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah,
it's not bad. So they spread them out.
Redskins Broncos is the only one I'll be watching.
Isn't there
Jets Bengals? Pittsburgh, Boo. Oakland, Boo. Washington, Denver, yes. Atlanta, Arizona.
Boo.
Ugh. Yeah, that Thursday night game is a stinker, though. You're right, Bill.
And so is the Monday night game.
So is the Sunday night game.
You know what? You're right. So is the Sunday night game.
All three primetime games stink.
Terrible.
You got Carolina, Tampa Bay on Thursday.
The NFC
Green
South.
Bay at Minnesota. Right? And then you got
NFC
Seattle
North.
And the Rams.
Yeah. Three NFC divisions. NFC matchups. NFC South on Thursday, NFC North on Sunday, NFC West on Monday.
Six teams involved, two of which have a shot at the playoffs.
Seahawks and Packers.
Yeah. Yeah. Just awful.
Ridiculous. I can't understand. So anyway, the bye weeks, that's going to kill a lot of people in fantasy this week. The injuries, that's going to kill a lot of people in fantasy this week. The good news is we're here to help. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. You can send in your fantasy football questions for week 8. And you can also hit us up on Twitter at FFChamps. We're going to go through the week 7 injury recap, week 8 waiver wire suggestions. We'll be taking your telephone calls and your emails. But Todd, let's look back at week 7. And go through our fantasy recap with the champs and the chumps.
Who were the playmakers, the showstoppers, the studs?
Woo!
And who were the losers, the bums, and the duds? Bill and Todd identify the champs and chumps.
All right, champs and the chumps, we always like to look at the quarterbacks first, Todd. Two very familiar names in 2012 when they were rookies. But here they are in 2013, I believe first time they made the quarterback champs list this year. That's Andrew Luck and RG3. Andrew Luck, 228 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. He also ran in a touchdown. And then RG3, 298 through the air, 2 TDs, plus 84 rushing yards. Certainly looks like RG3's legs are back.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we kind of tried to tell everybody to hang on to RG3. Remember everyone panicking after the first couple weeks, Bill?
Not only fantasy football players, but people in Washington. They were putting up billboards saying they want Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, give me a break. now, has he been disappointing from a football standpoint this season? Yes. But he's coming on strong. You know?
Sure is,
and
yeah.
I thought the game was terrible 2 weeks ago when they lost to the Cowboys, and the Redskins didn't look good as a team.
Right.
I just thought he kind of had his quickness back in that game. He was scrambling. It seemed to me like he seemed a little quicker than he did in week one.
Yeah.
So I was actually encouraged by this. And, you know, now he's starting to put some together some of the rushing yards that we love. I mean, it's all about the rushing yards with him.
Absolutely.
You know, you get those 8 rushing or 84 rushing yards. That's 8 extra points. He had a touchdown every now and again. Huge points for fantasy.
And then Andrew Luck with the rushing yards and the rushing touchdown. Very underrated, but he gets in the end zone a lot.
And Trent Richardson sure as hell isn't getting into the end zone.
No, don't remind me.
Yes, we'll bash him a little later. But yeah, so Luck, you know, he's a sneaky runner. And the stat that I did like that they put up on Sunday Night Football was the most rushing touchdowns by a quarterback since the beginning of the 2012 season. Care to guess who they were, Bill?
I believe one was Mr. Newton, Cam Newton.
Cam Newton was one. RG3 was number 3, and sandwiched in between was Andrew Luck.
Wow.
I believe it was 8 rushing touchdowns, I believe.
Not bad.
So, you know, he's a sneaky runner. He's more athletic than you'd think. And, you know, right there, that last week, 29 rushing yards and a score, that's an extra 8.9 points in most leagues. So, a great game from him. I thought he looked solid. It was weird how the receivers didn't really pop fantasy-wise.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's because Darius Heyward-Bey and Colby Fleener were the guys that got the touchdowns.
Yeah.
That helps nobody.
No. No.
I scream at my TV when someone from non-fantasy, you know, a non-relevant person in fantasy football scores, I scream.
How about
that
Tolbert?
That helps nobody.
Tolbert's the one, man.
Another one. Here's another one.
He's killing people scoring the rushing touchdowns.
Yep.
Tolbert. You can't start Tolbert in a league.
No.
Unless you're in a touchdown-only league, but you know where yards don't count.
Right, which is so dumb.
Exactly. First in Tolbert.
Yeah. Tolbert's the guy I always think of, Bill. Or that just a fullback in general. Anytime a fullback scores a touchdown.
Yeah, Stanley Havi, or whoever, however you say his last name.
Havili.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the guy that caught Luck's 3rd touchdown.
It's funny because he's fat.
All right, Tom, be nice.
So who else do we got? Where are we?
Andy Dalton was the other quarterback champ from week 7.
Yes.
Dalton, 372 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's looking pretty good in the last couple of weeks. Move on over to the quarterback chumps, Todd. Nick Foles of the Philadelphia Eagles, 11 for 29. He looked terrible. Only 80 yards on the day before losing the game with a concussion. And then finally, Josh Freeman, Monday Night Football, probably one of the most boring games ever on Monday Night Football. Josh Freeman of the Minnesota Vikings, 20 of 53, 190 yards, and 1 touchdown.
I picked up Foles, too, as like a matchup play. Big mistake.
A lot of people did, Kev. You're not the only one.
I'm down there in the Meadowlands watching the Pats play, and I'm looking up at the board thinking that Dallas-Philly game, there's going to be points going up left and right. Neither team can stop anybody. And I look, and it's 3-0 at halftime.
It was terrible.
Throwing my hat down in the dirt and kicking it.
A lot of people were doing the same thing as you.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the fantasy gods decide to throw you for a loop. And Foles, I mean, he just looked bad. He was missing. Players were open. He was just missing them.
Yep.
He looked bad.
All right, let's move over to the running back champs, Todd. How about Matt Forte, 91 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns. That's a hat trick. Joining him in the 3-TD club from Week 7 is Roy Helu, 11 rushes, 41 yards. But he did get into the end zone 3 times for the Washington Redskins.
Now, Bill, Alfred Morris is still the number one running back in Washington.
Yep.
Okay? How many people do you think started Roy Helu?
I would say less than 10%.
Yeah, in their fantasy leagues. I mean, every time they got close, that was a weird game fantasy-wise if you're a Redskins fantasy player owner because they scored 45 points, Bill.
Right.
No touchdowns from Pierre Garçon.
Right.
Helu didn't score.
No, Morris didn't score. Helu scored 3 times.
I'm sorry, Morris didn't score. My bad.
Yeah.
You know, the stud guys didn't get in the end zone. Weird.
Jordan Reed.
He did.
Yeah, that's what
I'm... we're going to get to him in a bit.
Yeah. Running back champ, the third one for week 7 was Frank Gore out of the San Francisco 49ers, 70 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. He also caught 2 passes for 34 yards.
Frank Gore just gets it done every week, Bill.
Every week, every year.
You know, he's not the sexiest pick. He's never like one of those top 6 guys.
Nope.
He's like in that 12 to 15 range preseason, and then look what happens. We're 7 weeks in. C.J. Spiller stinks. You know, Doug Martin's out.
Yep.
All the guys right ahead of him, half of them, are not living up to expectations. Frank Gore continues to get the touches, 24 rushes. How many running backs, Bill, are getting 24 rushes a week now?
Other than Chris Ivory against the Patriots.
I mean, Adrian Peterson last night, what the hell was that, 13 carries?
Yeah, it's just terrible.
What,
and you're letting Josh Freeman pass the ball 50 times?
As an Adrian Peterson owner, let me just rant on that for a second.
Sure.
What in the hell are they doing in Minnesota, putting a very winnable game in the hands of a guy, Josh Freeman, who's been on their team for like 12 minutes, and he throws the ball 53 times?
Mm-hmm.
You've got the MVP. He's healthy, right? Adrian Peterson is healthy.
Yep.
And he gets the ball 13 times.
I know.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
All right. Rant over. Running back chumps, Bill, and Adrian Peterson isn't on the list, but he could be. But how about Bilal Powell? 3 rushes, 6 yards. Chris Ivory stole the show, as you mentioned earlier, Bill, in that one. Bilal Powell, I think this has something to do with an injury. I know he had that minor neck injury. It was considered probable heading into the Patriots game. There must be more to it.
I don't know what's going on with Bilal Powell, but to see him take the bulk of the workload the last couple weeks and then kind of just almost like he got benched in this game, just completely taken out of it, was shocking to me. I couldn't understand the reason why. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's injury-related or maybe it's something that we don't know about, but it was just weird.
Yeah, not good. Another AFC East running back makes the chump list, Bill. C.J. Spiller, consensus top 5 or 6 preseason fantasy running back. 6 rushes, 11 yards.
And, you know, his coach, Doug Marrone, came out and said that, you know, his lack of success is very much to do with his ankle injury. Well, then, you know what? Let him sit out a week and let him get healthy. You don't have a bye week until week 11 or week 12 or something like that. You know, he's not going to get healthy if you keep putting him out there. So let him get healthy. Put him inactive 1 week. It's not going to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. And then the mega chump, Bill. You have Megatron, who's a wide receiver we'll be talking about in a bit.
Yeah.
But we have mega chump, and that is Trent Richardson.
Oh, God.
14 rushes, 37 yards, and a fumble.
You know, we thought Trent Richardson was going to be so good ever when he went to traded to the Indianapolis Colts, and it couldn't be further from the truth. He just looks awful. Thank God he's on a bye this week, Todd. We don't have to worry about him.
It's funny you say that, Bill, because this morning I kind of preliminarily put in my starting lineups for the week just to kind of see where my bye weeks were and, you know, what was going on. And I went to my one team where I have Trent Richardson, and I was like, ugh, got to figure out if I got to start Trent again this week. And then he was on a bye, and I was relieved, Bill. I said, ah.
Don't gotta
worry about
him.
I clicked the button, put him on my bench, and I was like, I don't have to worry about him this week.
Yeah, he's not putting in work.
No. I mean, what is the deal? I mean, does he just magically stink overnight?
I don't understand how a rookie, he was a rookie last year, can come into the league, play for the Cleveland Browns with broken ribs, have 950 yards, double-digit touchdowns, and 50 catches. And then a healthy year later, on a really good team now, can't even get, over 50 yards in a game?
Yeah, here's his
stat
line.
He looks terrible.
Here's his stat line. Since coming over to the Colts, all right, 35 rush, these are just rushing yards, 35 yards, 60, 56, 40, 37. Two total catches in those five games, Bill. Two catches.
Is there something that we don't know about him?
There's got to be something going on.
Like, why did the Browns trade him? Like, is there something?
Well, get hot?
No, I don't think it's that.
Let's hear that again, Kev.
Yeah.
You want to get hot?
What is that from? Dave Chappelle?
I think that's Adam Sandler doing something.
Oh. It sounds like the crackhead from Dave Chappelle's show. What's his name? Tyrone.
There's no hope with Joe.
Yeah. Anyway, why would the Browns trade him one? Like, these are just like conspiracy theories that, you know, sometimes I have in my head because I'm bored and lonely. There has to be something going on with Trent Richardson that we don't know. The Browns traded him away.
Maybe he was like having an affair with like the
North
GM's
Turner's wife or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Two, maybe he has an injury that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Or I want to say three, maybe he's just not that good, but I know that's not true.
I don't know.
He's
terrible, but he's not. I thought he was overrated coming out.
No, he's talented, man. I mean, I watched him last year.
Is he overweight or something? Like, is he like fat?
I don't think so. He looks pretty healthy to me.
He looks
like he's in shape.
I called him to be a flop when he came out, and I'm looking pretty good.
No, well, I mean, Kev, he was great last year.
Wasn't buying.
He looked really good. He looked like a player, like a Marshawn Lynch. That's what he reminded me as a rookie.
Yeah.
A Marshawn Lynch, where defenders couldn't tackle him solo, and he ran through arm tackles, and he was a violent runner, and he was going to be that next kind of Marshawn Lynch, Adrian Peterson, I can run people over, and I can make you miss. There's not many of those running backs left in the NFL. You think about the Ray Rices, the MJD, the Doug Martin, those kind of 5'9 and smaller guys that kind of squeak through the holes. There's no one really like a Marshawn Lynch or an Adrian Peterson. I'm going to throw Frank Gore into that category.
Well, here's the thing. Last year, he played hurt, right? And he still had a nose for the goal line. He scored
12 touchdowns.
I know, 11 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
He was an excellent receiver, Bill. 51 receptions.
Yeah, such a big part of that offense
now,
last year.
His rushing average, yards per rush, wasn't there. That's, you know, that's something that's carried over. 3.6 last year. Now it's 3.1. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Maybe there's something going on. Who knows? But anyway, let's keep motoring through here. Let's go to some happier topics. How about the wide receiver champs, Bill? Who do we have at the wide receiver spot?
Love these three wide receivers this week. Two of them were in the same game. Megatron, Calvin Johnson of the Lions, was taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, where A.J. Green had 6 catches, 155 yards and a touchdown. Calvin had 155 yards, 9 grabs, 2 touchdowns, one of which was in triple coverage. Go up and look at the GIF or look at the video. Find the highlight of Calvin Johnson's catch. He jumped over 3 defenders to make the grab.
Bill, it looked like a Hail Mary.
It kind of was like a Hail Mary. Stafford kind of just chucked it up. He was under pressure. And, you know, Calvin Johnson came down with the ball.
But when I saw that, when I first saw that play, it wasn't live. It was like, I don't know, half hour after it happened or whatever. Uh-huh. And when I saw it, I was kind of like half paying attention.
Yeah. Well,
I thought
live.
It was like an end of the half Hail Mary.
Hmm.
You know, I was like, oh my God, they scored a Hail Mary. And then I looked closer and I was like, oh, that was just a regular play.
Yeah, that's just a mid third quarter.
The guy, when Megatron's healthy, Bill, and I tried like hell to trade for him last couple weeks.
Of course.
And I just couldn't. I was so close to ripping him away from one guy, from one owner who was disgusted with him. Because, you know, Megatron was hurt. And he had a couple rough weeks. You know he's going to come around, Bill. And now he's come around. So if you've got him, you love it.
I was fortunate enough to actually trade for Matt Stafford while Calvin Johnson was a little bit banged up. You know, people start to panic and unnecessarily.
The same thing, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Kevin made the big trade for Stafford.
Yep.
How's your team done since this trade?
1-1. But
so you lost the first week, remember that, but the second week.
I won
last
this week. Yeah.
Nope. Good.
I was happy with it. Yep.
There you go.
I'm gonna go on a little bit. I need to vent about my loss this week, but I'll save that for later in the show. The other wide receiver champ from week 7, Vincent Jackson of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This guy's been on fire, man. 10 catches, 138 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Todd, the wide receiver chumps Josh Gordon of the Browns. Ugh. 2 catches, 21 yards. What happened to him? And then Larry Fitz going way back to last Thursday night when the Seahawks were taking on the Cardinals. Larry Fitz just 2 catches, 17 yards. Big letdowns from those guys.
Yeah, moving over to the tight ends, Bill, there's a fresh name on the list, and you might hear him many times the rest of the season in our Champs and Chumps segment. How about Jordan Reed, Washington Redskins, Bill, 9 catches, 134 yards, and a score.
Yeah, Jordan Reed's a guy that you need to get him on your team if you didn't do so already. He's a player that's going to be a big part of that Redskins scheme going forward. They don't really have a number 2 wide receiver, Todd. It's pretty much just Pierre Garçon and then RG3 and the running back. So Jordan Reed's going to have a big impact on that team.
And here's the thing about Jordan Reed, and I'm going to try to grab him. I think he's available in a couple of my leagues. Most people have a good tight end. Do you know what I mean? I mean, especially with Gronk coming back now, I don't think there's going to be a race in most leagues to get a tight end. I'm hoping he's available. I'm hoping that people, you know, grab Boykin and, or whoever. I need a tight end in one league bad. It's a PPR league, too. Mm. I had Jared Cook. He stinks. I had Garrett Graham. You know. So I'm hoping to grab him. But I'm hoping that people that listening to the show can get him because a lot of people already set tight end position.
Right. Right.
2 other tight end champs this week, Bill. How about JerMichael Finley? 5 catches, 72 yards, and a score. Then he had the very scary, what do they call it, a bruised spinal cord?
A bruised spinal cord. Yeah, I don't even know how they can tell if your spinal cord's bruised.
Well, he was in intensive care for a while. They're saying, at least what I saw recently, Bill, like an hour ago, was 4 to 6 weeks. He could be out. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be surprised if it's longer. Would you?
Yeah. They didn't necessarily put him on injured reserve yet, but we're kind of waiting to see that from happening. I don't think he's going to play this year.
Yeah, I mean that's a pretty scary injury.
I don't think it's career ending, but I think it's going to be season ending.
Yeah, I mean that's you don't want to mess with that, you know.
No.
That's not a pulled hammy, you know.
Right.
That's something that you just don't want to mess with it. Middle of the season, I think that's something you give it like 6 to 8 months off and just rest and just heal up. And
Green Bay Packers falling off. Randall Cobb's done. JerMichael Finley's done. All of a sudden, my Detroit Lions pick for the NFC North not looking that crazy. Jay Cutler's done with the Bears, but I'll save that conversation for Thursday. I'll wait on it.
All right, another tight end champ. How about Jordan Cameron, Mr. Bill?
Yeah, a lot of his points were in garbage time, but hey, fantasy football, we don't care when the points come as long as they come eventually. 7 catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown for our guy, JC.
Tight end chumps. Tony Gonzalez makes the list. 2 catches, 30 yards. Another old man, Antonio Gates. 6 catches, 31 yards. Okay in a PPR, but in standard scoring. Very disappointing considering he played against the Jags, Bill. Now, talking about Gonzo for a second, we were all wondering what was going to happen.
Right.
With the passing game, right? Because Julio Jones was out, Roddy White was out. They had the bye week to kind of figure things out, and we were kind of, you know, told people to go out and get Harry Douglas if you needed wide receiver help.
Right.
But, well, how was it going to affect Gonzo? And we thought it was going to kind of be boom or bust, you know? All the defenses could be just focused on him, take him away, and that's kind of what happened. We were also thinking maybe Matt Ryan would just look his way all day long. It didn't really happen like that, so... A little concerning for Gonzo moving forward. Hopefully, Harry Douglas and the other wide receivers continue to step up so that Gonzo can get some more favorable matchups moving forward.
And I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah,
once teams start seeing guys like Harry Douglas go for 138, they're going to realize that it's a little bit more important to worry about the receivers going deep than just Tony Gonzalez underneath for a 5-yard catch.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, you know, it's tight ends, Bill. You can't get too upset with tight ends. You know, they're up and down. You just keep plugging them in there if they're studs. And over the course of time, you'll come out on top.
855-728-7500 is the phone number. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, Week 7 injury recap and our waiver wire report for Week 8. That's all coming up next right here on patriots.com radio.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Probable?
It is what it is.
Questionable?
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
Doubtful? Are any of your players on this week's injury report? It's time for Bumps and Bruises.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs. Bill Ender and Todd DeVries here with you. We're really just getting started on our Week 8 episode, and the injuries from Week 7 may go down as one of the worst ever in terms of high-profile fantasy football contributors. Todd, let's start it off with the quarterbacks. We got Jay Cutler, pulled a groin, out at least a month, and we'll see Josh McCown take over for Mr. Cutler. How about the Rams quarterback Sam Bradford, tore his ACL, out for the year. Did you see the play that he went down on?
Yes, he did, sir.
You know, you have to realize that you're the franchise kid. You just get out of bounds early, throw it away early. No need to kind of, like, hesitate or...
I know. The next guy on the injury list here, Nick Foles, did the same thing with the Eagles.
Yep.
Bill, it was, it was third down, and they're near the end zone. I forget what yard line they were on, 10-yard line or so. And he rolled right, designed rollout. No one's open. He has all day, right? Mm-hmm. But no one's clearly open. And when you do a rollout to the right, now you're only looking at half the field anyway, right?
Right.
And he's holding it. And you're like, dude, throw it into the stands. Take the field goal. What does he do? He holds it until there's two Cowboys in his face.
I don't understand.
Gets smacked into the ground. Helmet crushes into the grass, and he's out for the game. I don't get it. I'm with you, man. Bradford, Foles, these guys, they got to be smarter.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move over to the running backs, Todd. Doug Martin of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We expect that he's done for the year. The Buccaneers are waiting for a second opinion. But with his torn labrum, it doesn't look like he's going to play again this season. Martin, pretty much the consensus number two overall pick heading into the season.
Yeah, it's tough to play with torn labrum when you're a running back, Bill.
Yeah.
I took him fourth, so what do I do? Just to ditch him? Yeah. The non-keeper league?
Well, you can wait until there's official word.
But yes.
Then I'm kind of screwed. Like, I need to try to act to get his backup or get somebody else.
Well, we're going to get to our
part of my team.
We're going to get to our waiver wire picks in just a little bit.
But
honest with you, Kev, he wasn't really that big of a
tonight.
Part of your team because he didn't really do
a whole lot.
Yeah,
so my waiver thing will go through tonight and process in the morning.
Oh, then you have to get his backup, Mike James.
That's right.
We'll get to that in a little bit.
That's what I'm going with.
If you just be patient, like the rest of everyone else out there. That's waiting for our waiver wire advice. We'll help you out, too. You just got to be a little patient.
Okay.
We're going to get to the rest of these injuries, and then we'll jump into the waiver wire report. Is that all right?
That's okay.
All right. Just making sure. Because how much time do you have yet before your waiver processes?
I'm not sure. I think it's like 11 o'clock tonight or something like that.
So you have like 7 hours?
Something like that.
So you can wait 15 minutes.
I can wait.
All right. Just wanted to make sure. Because if it was happening like 5 o'clock, then we help you right now.
Bill's a taskmaster.
I'll tell you, Todd, you know, we got to keep a tight ship around here on the show.
I guess what Kevin's asking and what a lot of managers are asking is, Doug Martin is getting a second opinion.
Yeah.
And that second opinion we won't hear what that is until after waivers run tonight. So what he's probably asking is, in a roundabout way, is do I cut Doug Martin now, tonight, try to get his backup, you know, before we get the official word that he's out for the year?
And my answer to that is yes, unless you have two defenses, two kickers, or a backup tight end that you can afford to dump this week. Like, let's say your defense is on a bye. There's six teams on a bye. Maybe you have the Ravens on a bye this week. You bet you cut the Ravens defense because you needed the defense anyway. And then once tomorrow comes out that it's official, Doug Martin's going on injured reserve, then you can dump him to get your defense.
Gotcha.
You know, it's an art when it comes to the waiver wire. You really have to be smart about who you're getting rid of and who you're cutting and who you're picking up. And that's why we're trying, you know.
I hear you, man. All right, another running back on the injury report is Arian Foster-Bill. Hamstring injury. Luckily, they're on a bye this week. Do we expect him to be okay when he returns?
I do think he'll be fine. Luckily, they have off this weekend. I don't think it's going to be as bad as his anti-awesomeness from a couple years ago. I'm not sure if you remember he tweeted out the MRI or x-ray result of his pulled hamstring. I don't think it's going to be that severe. I expect Foster to just be fine going forward.
Well, if he's not fine, who's his backup? Because Ben Tate fractured four ribs.
That's another injured running back this week. So if Foster can't play and if Ben Tate can't play, looking like we're seeing Ray Graham, undrafted running back out of Pittsburgh.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Another AFC running back to talk about, Fred Jackson, lower leg injury. He was able to return to action, but, you know, Jackson just another guy that was a little banged up over the weekend.
And this one's something to keep an eye on, only because we know Fred Jackson's injury history dating back for the last couple of years. Always seems to break a leg or break a bone or snap an ankle, I don't know. But the guy's always injured, so I was holding my breath a little bit here when he went down. But, hey, that happened in the first quarter. He was able to finish the game, so that was certainly good news.
You have an interesting way to nonchalantly talk about snapping an ankle.
Well,
he always, you know, breaks a bone or snaps an ankle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like how you put that. That was very nice, very smooth.
Thank you.
Next wide receiver, Bill. This is a big one. This one kind of hurts because it could be the end of a career, potentially. And that's Reggie Wayne, the wide receiver for the Colts. Torn ACL, out for the year. Bill, he's 34 years old. You know, is this the last time, potentially the last time that we see this guy in action?
I think it certainly could be. His contract is up in 2015, so next year, 2014, would be the last year under his current contract. I don't know if he's going to want to rehab the way he needs to rehab to get back from this injury and be able to play like he's capable of playing, or at least he was capable of playing once upon a time. And you're right, Todd, this one does hurt because Reggie's a guy that we've been banking on for, what, the last 11 years, 12 years? You know, going back to his days when he was the number two man to Marvin Harrison.
Yep.
So Reggie's a guy, he was
so
always
consistent.
Always a fantasy football favorite because you know he was getting over 100 yards and you know he was going over 1,200 yards through the air, getting over 100 receptions, going over 1,200 yards receiving. And he's just a guy that you can rely on every single year. You wanted to draft him because he was a lock. He was a lock for points.
Yeah, that's sad, you know. So what happens with the Colts passing game? I mean, T.Y. Hilton gets bumped up in value a little bit.
Yep.
Darius Hayward-Bey gets bumped up a little bit. Kobe Fleener a little bit as well.
Sure, and the Colts luckily have a week to figure it out since they're on a bye this week. Maybe Trent Richardson gets more involved.
Maybe. You think he might actually catch more than two balls over the last 5 weeks? Maybe he'll catch like two balls this week, double his total?
I would hope so.
All right, tight end on the list. We already talked about him earlier, Jermichael Finley, Bill. The bad neck injury, bruised spinal cord, was in intensive care for a couple of days. He's got feeling in all of his extremities, which is good news.
Yep.
But he needs to rest this thing, and, you know, there's speculation 4 to 6 weeks before he could get back on the playing field. We wouldn't be surprised if he's done for the year.
Oh, yeah, I'm not expecting him to come back this year. I think he'll land on injured reserve sometime this week.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, Bill, you know, we just went through the injuries. Which one do you think has the most fantasy impact?
The most fantasy impact. It's funny you say that because we actually have a poll up on FFChamps.com right now. biggest injury from week 7. Right now, Doug Martin has the majority of the votes, 36%. Reggie Wayne in at 26%. I think because of the severity and long-term nature of their injuries, both of them aren't going to take another snap this year. Those have to hurt the most to me.
I agree. I would like to point out the potential ramifications of Jay Cutler going down.
Well, that one hurts too, Todd, because you think about how good the Bears were playing on offense. I mean, statistically, this was Jay Cutler's best season to date, or at least he was on pace to have his best season.
Well, think about it, Bill. I mean, the passing game, he was supporting Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, Matt Forte, and Marty B. You know,
sure.
The Bears had a lot of fantasy relevant players. Now, Jay Cutler wasn't a guy that you feel comfortable plugging in every week as your quarterback, but with his absence, I'm wondering, you know, how it could affect everyone else because all these other guys are in lineups every week.
Right.
So that's one underrated injury to keep a close eye on, and you know, he's out for at least a month, Bill. That's prime time. That's prime fantasy playoff.
Sure is.
You know, I mean, getting ready for the playoffs and making your run, making the playoff run. I mean, here we are. We're going week 8. Week 8's coming up.
Yep.
So what? He's out till what? Week 12?
Yeah.
Thereabouts?
If that. That's the earliest.
Yeah. So, you know, when do your playoffs start, Bill? I mean, week 15, 16, most leagues, right?
Yeah.
14, 15, 16, depending on how you do it, format wise. So you might only have Jay Cutler for a week or two at the, you know, at the end of the fantasy season.
And that's unfortunate because it kind of seems like this happens every year with the Chicago Bears. They start off so strong, and then they just collapse, and it's mostly because of injuries, whether it's to Jay Cutler or Matt Forte or someone on their defense. It just seems to happen to the Bears every year.
Yeah. So, good news for your Detroit Lions, Bill.
That's right.
Who you've predicted will make the playoffs. This actually opens up the path to the playoffs for them.
Sure does. Sure does. What else we got going on? I think we should move away from the injury report, Todd, and kind of focus on the waiver wire report because we know that our good producer, Kevin Collins.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hold on a second.
What?
Do you want to talk waiver wire now or do you want to do that at the top of the hour? Because I want to hear your story about your team from the past weekend.
Oh.
I want to. You sounded exasperated earlier in the show, and Kevin was talking about how he won last week, and you said you had a story to tell about how you lost. It sounded like you lost, right?
Yeah.
So why don't we do – do you want to do the story now? That gives us time at the top of the hour.
Yeah,
take our break.
We got
and then we'll do
the
a proper waiver wire segment. What do you think?
You know, the league that I'm a commissioner in is my most expensive league, and that's the one that I want to win because it's the same 10 people that started the league – 14 years ago when we were in eighth grade. Now we're all still in the league. My one friend is moved to California. He does the draft every year via Skype. And for whatever reason, he knows the least about football. It's a very competitive league. Everyone has it's only a 10-team league. Everyone has a good team. But he knows the least about football. You know, he kind of just follows what we do at ffchamps.com. He uses my own cheat sheet and rankings against me every year, so it kind of drives me a little bit crazy.
Okay.
Heading into the Monday night game with the Giants and the Vikings, he was up 1 point. I had Reuben Randall. He had Blair Walsh and the Minnesota Vikings defense.
Okay.
So what happens after Reuben Randall scores the touchdown? He fumbles, -2, and the Vikings defense gets the fumble recovery, +2 on his other side. So that's a 4-point swing, Todd.
Okay.
And how much do I end up losing by? I end up losing by 3 points.
Well, the Vikings D, they also returned a punt, right?
Well, yeah. And that would have been fine. I would have won the game even with that return.
Oh,
but I'm saying the Reuben Randall fumble and then them recovering, that's a 4-point swing, and I ended up losing
whammy.
I ended up losing by 3. So that one just kills me. It just kills me because he talks so much trash and he's not even here. Like he can't even do it in person. He has to do it through text message. He has to do it through Facebook posts. He has to do it through Instagram. You know, like that's what's, it just drives me crazy.
Now, what's your record in this league?
Well, now it's 3-4.
What's his record?
That was his second win of the year.
Oh, Bill. Well, this is the team where you had this PPR league, right?
Yep.
And you had Julio.
Yep. And Vereen.
And Vereen.
And I had Trent Richardson, 1 point this weekend. And I had Josh Gordon, 3 points.
Oh, man.
Everyone else on my team was good. Steve Smith had a good game. Matt Ryan had a good game. Jordan Reed had a good game. Racist Riley Cooper was in my lineup. So
with the racist, nice.
Yeah, I had needed a little flex option, and that's where I went with. Darren Sproles, my boy, was on the bench, was on the bye.
Mm.
So that's my story. You know, I don't talk about my personal leagues very often, but this one is just burning me because that Reuben Randle fumble and then a Minnesota Vikings recovery on a special teams play. It wasn't like Randle was, you know, running down the sidelines on an Eli Manning screen or something. It was on a punt return.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's a pretty lame.
That's
way
a bad.
Lose.
That's a bad beat. You know, sometimes you're in poker and you got burned on the river. Like that's just a bad beat. I got that. That was just a bad beat for me this weekend. And I mean, this team has been. I've been saying this team has been done for a while now because of the injury to Julio, and I didn't think Matt Ryan would be as good, and Trent Richardson's a major bust. Of all my leagues, this is by far my worst team, and it just so happens to be in my most important league. But 4-3 in this league is a lot better than 3-4, because at 4-3, I would be in 5th place instead of in 7th.
Out of 10?
Out of 10.
How do you do your playoffs?
It's top 6.
Mm. What, the first two get a bye?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Bill, that's a crappy way to lose, my friend.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible way to lose. On the other hand, I had, in my Dynasty League, I was going against Adrian Peterson and Kyle Rudolph, and all I had was Victor Cruz, and I ended up winning that battle.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
In one of my leagues, one of the two that I care about, it's a quarterback-heavy league. I think I've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Where for some reason, and I never try to draft quarterbacks early, but Peyton Manning slipped to the third round, and bottom of the third round. Actually, I had the last pick of the third round, top of the fourth on the snake. So I grabbed Peyton Manning, and I grabbed Tony Romo later, and I'm just dominating this league because I'm getting 40, 50, 60 points from Manning every week. I tried to trade Romo.
No one wants him.
I was asking for a lot. But here's the thing. The way the NFL is now, the way fantasy football is now, I mean, you're not getting squat from the running back position.
No.
So if you've formed a league where quarterback points are, you know, huge.
Right.
You know, in this one you get 6 points for a touchdown pass plus all the bonuses, like up to, so you get up to 10 points for a touchdown pass if it's a long one. You have Peyton Manning. I mean, you don't need running backs. Almost literally, you don't need them.
Right. He's making up for two or three guys.
Because you're getting half your points from a quarterback. So I'm doing well in that league. My other league is where I'm really concerned. Julio, gone. Doug Martin, gone. Yeah. Randall Cobb, gone.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble there. And I'm 5-2, but I can just see it now. I lost last week, and I put up like a 65 points.
Oh.
And I can see it slipping away, you know? You can only pull so much magic out of the hat, Bill.
I know.
And right now, like, I'm going to be relying on Rivers and, like, Vernon Davis to just like, I just need them to just go crazy. And Josh Gordon, too.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, Josh Gordon, maybe we should talk about this for a couple minutes before we go to break. You know, the trade deadline's coming up, Bill, right?
I would love to see him go to another team.
See, I don't know. I don't know about that. Fantasy-wise?
Yeah, I really would.
Yeah. We saw.
He, you know why, Todd? Because he's so talented, and his quarterback is just so inept that no matter what kind of situation he goes to, it's going to be a better deal for him.
I don't think so. Who are the teams that Josh Gordon might go to?
You got to figure the San Francisco 49ers are desperate for a wide receiver.
Okay.
The Indianapolis Colts may be in the market for a receiver now that Reggie Wayne's hurt.
Okay.
And then I think the Lions could use a receiver opposite of Calvin.
Now, to me, if he went to the Lions, I'd be fantasy-wise, I'd be fine with that. Because they just chuck it around.
Right, right.
If you put him on the Niners, Bill, I'm telling you, you will be disappointed. Because they run the ball. Frank Gore gets 25 carries a game.
Yeah.
Kaepernick isn't exactly throwing it 30, 35 times a game.
He but don't you around. Think that's because they don't have a receiver to throw to?
I don't know, man. I think that I think you'd be disappointed in Gordon. Plus, he's going to have to ramp up on the new offense. I don't have time for a guy to get traded and ramp up.
Right.
I need wins.
We don't have time for that playbook nonsense.
No. If this was, you know, week one or week Trent got traded in what, week after week two, I think, right? Trent Richardson. If it's like week two, I'm cool with that. But now, I mean, we're in week eight. He gets traded next week. I think the trade deadline's October 29th, right? Which is a week from today.
Yes.
So, you know, that's after week eight. You're talking into week nine. You give him 2 or 3 weeks to acclimate. Now you're in week 12.
Yeah.
I can't have that. I'd rather him be on the Browns, a crappy team, even though they have crappy quarterbacks. They're going to be down. They're going to be throwing the ball. I know what I'm getting with him on the Browns, and I'm fine with that. I don't know what I'm getting with these other teams.
I hear you. That's a good point.
So I don't want him to get traded. Now, Hakeem Nicks, trade that bum.
Why can you trade Hakeem, but you can't trade Gordon?
Because Hakeem Nicks doesn't do anything right now. He's terrible.
At least Gordon's producing.
Gordon's fine. I mean, he's a top 10 wide receiver right now.
Yeah.
Right? Where do we have him on the rest of the way rankings?
That's a good question. I believe at 13.
13?
Yeah. 13.
Well.
Right, but I said
top 10. Well, then maybe it's top 12.
Top 12.
I mean, Hakeem Nicks is awful, Bill. He just looks disinterested.
Aware.
Just get him out of there. And Josh Gordon, I'm looking at him right now. I'd have him above Torrey Smith and Andre Johnson.
All right, so two spots.
Yeah. The other guys, yeah, I get where we're going there. So, anyway, man, that's kind of those are my thoughts there. Hakeem Nicks, trade him, please. Put him somewhere where you can do something. Nicks would be dangerous on the Lions, too, by the way.
Anyone would be dangerous on the Lions. I mean, they have this guy Chris Durham because he played with Stafford in college. That's the only reason why he's on the team.
Yeah, that's not a good reason to have him.
No, it's not.
But so we'll see. I mean, there's been a lot of talk, a lot more talk than usual, Bill. I think the trade's going to happen. I just don't know who's going to be traded exactly, but I think something's going to happen. Now, I'm wondering if the Colts can afford to trade for another player after they gave up a first-round pick for Trent. You know, can they afford a third-round pick or whatever it's going to take to get one of these guys? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. They might be thinking twice about that.
Kevin, do you have any stories from your league this weekend?
No, the one that I made the big trade in, I was able to get a win, which was great, and I improved to 4-3. The other one, I got absolutely smoked in the Doug Martin league. You know, Sproles was on a bye, who's another one of my backs. I had picked up Foles as a matchup play, and that backfired. So pretty much everything I did didn't work, and I ended up like you, Todd, with just like I think I had like 50 points. It was awful.
Kevin, I'd rather lose like that, though.
Yeah, than lose a heartbreaker. Absolutely. Yeah.
The worst thing, as we all know, the worst thing in the world is to put up a great number.
Yeah, and
lose to the guy that had the best.
Yeah, and lose by 2 points on some wacky play. Yeah, absolutely.
And then next week you come back to earth. You know, because it's hard to put up monster points every week. And then when you come back to earth, you still lose.
Yeah, I'm in the playoff hunt in both of my leagues, so I can't really complain.
And then I remember you saying that a team that had a trade was going to walk away with the league because they upgraded so much. How's that team doing?
They've been scoring a ton of points, but actually they haven't been winning. I think they're like 1-2 since the trade. Because what's happening is, I mean, the poor guy who got all the players just seems to be snake bit because he's putting up pretty big numbers, but he's just going against what seems to be the highest scoring team in the league every week. So it's just awful luck.
Right.
So it is what it is. He's going to be hard-pressed to make the playoffs at this point.
That's a shame.
Still think that I don't care, but I still think the trade was unfair, but whatever.
Karma.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Fantasy karma.
Yep.
All right, Bill. You want a break, baby?
Yeah, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go through our waiver wire report for week 8, plus your telephone calls, 855-728-7500, and emails, webradio, patriots.com. More of the Fantasy Football Champs coming up next.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February, because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I Just Got a Heck of a Deal on Awesome Entertainment, So Let's Dance Dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios triple play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Free agents, pickups, or waiver wire claims.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
The names may be different in your league, but the players are the same. The Fantasy Football Champs are here with the roster moves you should make this week.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Week 8 waiver wire report, Todd. Very, very important because so many injuries, so many players on buys. Let's go run through those bye week teams once again. Ray Rice with the Ravens, Matt Forte with the Bears, Arian Foster with the Texans, Trent Richardson with the Colts, not that much concern there. Ryan Matthews, Danny Woodhead with the Chargers, and then Chris Johnson on the Titans. That's like 6 or 7 running backs. I don't even want to go through all the wide receivers, but again, Baltimore, Chicago, Houston, Indianapolis, San Diego, and Tennessee, no games this weekend, plus all the injuries, makes for a big week for the waiver wire.
Thanks, Raj.
Yeah, seriously, Kevin, I don't know what you guys were doing in that hot tub when you were smoking cigars, but this was a major mess up. How can we have two weeks of two teams being on bye, and then boom, we get hit with a 6-team week?
It's Bush, I'm telling you.
Bush League. Bush League is right. And plus and the Jags and the 49ers are playing in London weekend.
Bush League.
For real?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
There's another stupid game in London.
Right? I'm telling you guys, we talked about it last Thursday.
No, the Jags are big in London.
Oh, it's just so lame.
They're big across the pond.
It's lame.
Well, you know their owner owns Fulham, the Barclays Premier League team.
Shaka Khan or whatever his name is.
Yeah. So you can expect Jacksonville to be playing over there. Don't they have a deal now? Honestly, I think they have a deal to play in London like every year for the next like 4 years or something.
They do.
We talked about it last week, Bill. Not from a fantasy perspective, but I don't like the way that the league is going, the direction they're going with all this stuff. I mean, they're talking about adding another Thursday night game. They're adding more games overseas. They're talking about adding more games to the regular season, putting more teams in the playoffs. Don't do any of this. Please.
Taken right from the NFL.com site, Todd. To meet increased demand in the United Kingdom, the National Football League has announced a third game will be added to the London schedule in 2014. Now they're having three games over there.
I don't understand. I don't get it, man.
Sometimes when you mess with a good thing,
I know,
get good results.
Now, at least they gave San Fran and Jacksonville a bye next week.
That's good.
But I just don't. I'm with you, man. You keep messing with this good thing, and I don't know. They're in a good spot right now, but and this sounds crazy, And Bill, you and I, we work in the football industry, and football's such the dominant sport in America right now with television and everything. But it wasn't that long ago when the NFL wasn't king, Bill.
Yeah.
Baseball, the NBA, back in the 80s. They had a pretty big piece of the pie, and I'm just saying, watch what you're doing. You can go down a bad path here, and 10, 15 years, people aren't quite as interested. It gets watered down. I don't know. It's a little early to be speculating like that, but I just don't like the direction the league's going in right now.
Yeah, so stop pissing us fantasy football players off.
And with that, let's transition back to the waiver wire report, Bill.
All right,
Kevin's got the music rolling. Let's talk about the quarterbacks. Are we interested at all in the Kellen Clemens and Josh McCowns of the world?
Cutler and Bradford's backup, absolutely not. There are a lot of other capable, serviceable quarterbacks that are out available in your league. Trust me on that. You know, everyone wants to go out and get the backup right away, but I'm not doing that with either of these guys. Either of these jokesters.
How about Jake Locker? He's on a bye this week, but he's back from injury. He looked pretty good last week. Is he a guy, if you have the room, you can stash away, or what do you recommend?
I like Jake Locker. He's impressed me this year. I wasn't very high on him, but when he comes back from the bye, he has the St. Louis Rams and the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he's got a great three games during the playoffs, during the fantasy playoffs. Denver Broncos, Arizona Cardinals, and again the Jaguars.
Wow. Yeah, you know, the way this season is going with injuries, and knock on wood, Bill, we haven't been hit with too many quarterback injuries yet of major significance.
Right.
I mean, you know, Cutler and Bradford, yes, of course, but, you know, we haven't been hit by the big dogs yet. Most of the big guys are still standing tall.
Luckily.
But Jake Locker's a guy that he could be one of those guys that you either use in the playoffs, but, I mean, if the season keeps going with these injuries, or he's used against you. He's one of these guys you're like, I can't believe I just lost my fantasy playoff game because of stinking Jake Locker.
Absolutely.
He could be one of those guys.
I totally agree.
Every year there's a guy or two like that where he's not a factor most of the year, probably wasn't even drafted, and he becomes beyond serviceable. So keep an eye on Jake Locker. I'm with you on that one.
All right, let's move over to running backs, Todd, where I really like what's going on with Roy Helu of the Washington Redskins, getting a lot of goal line looks, three touchdowns, which matched his career total. He did it in one game this past weekend against the Bears. Look for the Washington Redskins to go to a power rushing scheme going forward. And then I also like Mike James, who is Doug Martin's backup. Kevin, I hope your ears are perking up. Doug Martin's backup, Mike James, the sixth-round pick out of the U.
I got the claim in.
All right, get that claim in for Mike James, baby. Todd, what do you think about James?
Meh.
Meh. What does that mean?
You got to pick him up. I'm just teasing. You got to pick him up. I'm just really down on the Buccaneers for a running game in general. Teams are stacking up a little bit on Mike Glennon. Doug Martin wasn't able to get it going. Greg Schiano doesn't know what the hell he's doing down there. And, you know, they got staff infections, and they got all sorts of problems down there. It's a mess.
Yeah, it is a mess.
And if I'm Doug Martin, by the way, Bill, and there's a chance I could be back by the end of the year, do you want to come back? You know?
No.
With all the MRSA floating around and Greg Schiano yelling in your ear, I'd be like, I'll take the surgery, thank you. I'll be back, I'll see you in minicamps.
Not only would Doug Martin not want to come back, but that MRSA infection, that's pretty serious.
I'm serious. It's a complete colossal mess. And how about this? So there's speculation, you know, when Doug Martin goes down that they have to trade, or maybe they'll pick up some guys off waivers. If you're a guy out there, a running back kind of looking for a job, you don't want Tampa Bay calling you, man.
No.
Did you see the Atlanta Falcons had, like, these guys in hazmat suits?
Oh, my God. How great was that? How great was that? They were disinfecting the visiting locker room.
I know.
They were disinfecting the visitor's locker room.
I know.
Because this MRSA outbreak is so bad.
Tampa Bay's at Atlanta in the Dome, in the Georgia Dome, and they leave after the game, and they bring in the hazmat guys, and they spray the hell out of that locker room. They're I heard that the Buccaneers picked up Bobby Rainey off waivers, who's a second year guy out of Western Kentucky. I think he hung around with the Ravens and some other teams.
Yeah,
Ravens. I'm like, if I'm Bobby Rainey right now, do I take that? Do I take that gig?
I don't know, man. Right now we're looking at Mike James. We'll see if anyone else develops.
All right, moving
Buccaneers
on.
Backfield.
So Mike James, all the kidding aside, he is a guy worth picking up. Who knows? At this point, you kind of got to grasp a little bit. And he is a starting running back in the NFL for this week, so you got to take a look at him. Chris Ivory's another guy, Bill. You can't ignore his 34 carries last week for the Jets. Bilal Powell was nowhere to be found. Maybe it had something to do with his minor neck injury. We're not sure. But, man, 34 carries, Bill.
And that's what we take notice of, Todd. I mean, I don't even know the last time a running back in the NFL got over 30 carries. I'm trying to think who it was or when it was, but 34 carries is a lot. So that's something that we take notice of. Just like wide receivers and targets, running backs and carries. It goes hand in hand.
And let's just say this right now. I mean, all these running backs we're talking about, nobody's going to like save your season. These aren't. This isn't week two or three where a guy emerges and he looks like he could be, you know, really good, like unbelievably
right.
good.
Right.
We're in the dregs of the season here, baby, and you just got to pick up what you can
exactly.
and hope that they hit. And maybe they give you a couple weeks of production, or maybe they do give you 8 weeks of production. But that's what we're talking about with Chris Ivory here. Would it surprise you, Bill, if a week or two from now, Bilal Powell's the guy again? You
know, no, it would not.
It wouldn't. But that's what we're dealing with here. So Chris Ivory's a guy you got to look at. Next guy on the list, Lance Dunbar from the Cowboys, Bill. Now, DeMarco Murray went down to injury. So you hear the little rumors out there that they might actually be trying to trade him.
Yeah, I'm not happy with his services.
Well, the rumor, again, it's all speculation, was you're tired of his injuries. And, Bill, I told you, coming out of Oklahoma, DeMarco Murray came out of Oklahoma University. He was banged up all the time at Oklahoma. He played through most of the injuries, but he was never 100%. Same things happen every single year in the NFL. He can't stay healthy, and there's a rumor they're dangling him a little bit. Now, Lance Dunbar, heading into the year, was the backup to DeMarco Murray.
Right.
However, he is injured. Therefore, rookie Joseph Randall got the start against the Eagles. Pretty productive, Bill. Wasn't terrible. I mean, he wasn't like overly impressive, but he wasn't terrible.
He wasn't bad.
But I guess what we're saying here is don't forget about Lance Dunbar on the waiver wire because when he gets back, he is technically ahead of Joseph Randall, we think, on the depth chart.
100%.
So while everybody's got Joseph Randall now, you know, you might be sneaky if you can stash Lance Dunbar.
That's the move I would be doing if you need a running back because of the teams that we mentioned, Todd, the Cowboys actually do have a pretty good offense.
Yeah, they do. They do.
So
DeMarco, they're actually all healthy.
Right.
I mean, all the skill position guys other than DeMarco.
Yep.
Moving over to the wide receivers, Bill. We've talked about it on the injury report. Reggie Wayne is out for the year. Mm. Who's going to catch the balls from Andrew Luck? T.Y. Hilton's going to be one guy, but he's not available in any leagues. The other guy's Darius Heyward-Bey. He may be available, Bill. You know, this is a guy who Al Davis drafted before he passed away. Remember he reached for him in the top 10?
Yeah, took him over Crabtree.
Yeah, he
which actually, really, looking back on it, doesn't really that look.
Yeah. But the bottom line is nobody had DHB as a top 10 player in that draft.
Only
but the Raiders did, of course. Anyway, he now will have a more of a featured role in this passing game, and he's a guy you got to look at on the waiver wire if you need some wide receiver help.
And that's a guy that you know Darius Heyward-Bey can be productive. He has a great opportunity with a great quarterback on a good offense to really step into a role where it's not as wishy-washy or it's not as speculation with Darius Heyward-Bey because we know he has the skills. He's a veteran at this point.
Yep.
Whereas some of these other guys, you know, they're going to have their ups and downs, some of the other guys that we're going to get into.
Next guy on the list, Jeremy Curley from the Jets, Bill. I know you're pretty high on him. He's kind of a guy you've been talking about for a few weeks, yet he's still available in the majority of leagues.
You know, here's the thing with Curley, Todd, and it kills me because I know the Jets just beat up on the Patriots this weekend with the overtime victory, and Curley had a pretty good game. But the point is Geno Smith is throwing the ball, and he's playing well right now. And as long as Santonio Holmes is out, as long as the Jets don't have many playmakers in the passing game, Jeremy Curley's a guy that's going to produce it. You can't just look at a team and be like, well, they suck. Because you know what? The Jacksonville Jaguars suck, and Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackmon are two top 20 receivers in the last 3 weeks. So you have to kind of look at the Jets and give a little bit of respect, give a little bit of props to what Geno Smith is doing, and look at a guy like Jeremy Curley. That's his favorite option. It's his favorite target, and it's his only reliable playmaker. So you have to take that into consideration when you're dealing with fantasy football.
Yeah, I mean, Bill, I'll be the first to admit, I wanted no part of the Jets on draft day.
Me either.
Nothing. And they have become slightly fantasy relevant. I still don't have any Jets on any of my teams, Bill. But if I needed help in a PPR league, Curley's a guy I'd look at, for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know most of our audience listening here is Patriots or Patriot fans. It's hard to do with, you know, it's hard to pick up some Jets. But, you know, you got to they're doing a lot more than we thought, Bill, both on the regular reality football field, 4-3, and in fantasy. Geno Smith is surprising, so definitely some value there. How about Kendall Wright, Bill, the wide receiver for the Titans? Now, they're on bye this week, but you like this guy, especially in a PPR format.
Love Kendall Wright. I don't just like him, Todd. I love this guy because he is a guarantee for at least 6 catches. That's a touchdown in the PPR league. If you're guaranteeing me 6 catches, at least, which is equivalent to a touchdown, you're in my lineup. Anything he does on top of that is just gravy. It's all just a bonus at that point. Every single week, this guy gets 10 targets, 12 targets, 8 targets, and he catches the ball at a high volume, 9 for 98 last week, 5 for 69, 6 for 74, 5 for 56, 6 for 71, 7 for 54, every single week. He might be one of the most underrated, consistent playmakers in the entire National Football League.
Yeah, you got it. Again, the Titans are another team, Bill, not sexy when it comes to fantasy in the preseason.
Right.
You know, Chris Johnson was a guy that you kind of hesitate, but you have to take him at a certain point in your draft. But other than that, wasn't much going on. And, you know, you've got some under-the-radar producers. It's time. This is the time of year, Bill. All the injuries, all the bye weeks. You got to look at the Jets. You got to look at the Titans and find some producers there. They're not the sexiest players in the world, but you don't need sexy right now. You just need to win, damn it. Win, baby.
That's right. And you think about Jeremy Curley and Kendall Wright, very similar situations, very similar teams, whereas they're really the only capable, viable producers in the passing game.
Yep. Two other wide receivers to talk about, Bill. How about Marvin Jones for the Bengals? 2 games in a row with a touchdown. And Brandon Gibson, 2 touchdowns in week 7,
yeah.
3 games with over 70 yards. And PPR, yep. He's a decent wide receiver 4 or 5.
And these are the two guys that I was alluding to earlier when we were talking about Darius Hayward Bay. Marvin Jones and Brandon Gibson, not necessarily going to be those consistent performers, although we did see Jones of the Bengals kind of emerging as A.J. Green's sidekick in that passing game with Andy Dalton. But he's not going to have a touchdown every game. Brandon Gibson's not going to have 2 touchdowns maybe the rest of the year. So while I like these guys as your wide receiver 4 or wide receiver 5, you use them in a flyer-type situation, bye-week filler, I like DHB, I like Curley, I like Kendall Wright a little more because I believe they offer a little bit more consistency.
All right, and wrapping up the waiver wire report for the week, Bill, the tight ends. This is a guy that we love. If he's still available, you got to grab him. Jordan Reed for the Washington Redskins. We talked about him last week. If he's still out there, you got to get him. Huge part of the offense moving forward, Bill. 9 catches, 134 yards, and a touchdown. Yes, the Redskins aren't going to score 45 points every week, but, Bill, there's no doubt about it. This is pretty much the number 2 option to Pierre Garçon for RG3.
I'm not tooting my own horn here, but in a way I am a little bit. Sometimes with my waiver wire picks, I'm so far ahead of the curve that it almost doesn't seem right. So, like last week, I said pick up Jordan Reed, but then this is the week that he had the big game, so now everyone wants to pick him up. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are certain things that make me say, this guy's a really good pickup in fantasy. You want him on your team. You know, don't wait for the big breakout game. You need to be on board before the breakout game happens, because by then it's too late. So when you see him against the Dallas Cowboys going for 6 targets, 4 catches, 58 yards, you see Fred Davis slowly being phased out of the game plan, a light has to go off in your head and say, you know what, something's going on here. Reed's been looking really good. I remember talking about him in the preseason, even though he's buried on the depth chart. All that stuff comes into play for the waiver wire, and that's why we tend to be a little bit ahead of the curve on some of these guys. Keenan Allen was another one that we were high on before he had those big games, Todd. And another example is with Jordan Reed right now.
Yep. Yeah. You know, that's sometimes you got to roll the dice a little early.
Right.
But it pays off if it hits. If it doesn't hit, you just drop him.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Right. I'm with you.
Last guy on the list is Andrew Quarles, the tight end for the Packers. Now, Bill, Jermichael Finley is out. Randall Cobb is out. James Jones is banged up. He didn't play last week, right? So, and Aaron Rodgers is running out of passing targets, Bill.
The guy, again, ahead of the curve. He's done nothing. He has done nothing all year. But because of the injuries that you just mentioned, Todd, the opportunity's there for him.
It is. And I remember Andrew Quarles, who's a tight end out of Penn State, Bill, and he was not exactly a blocking tight end back then. He was a pass-catching tight end.
Okay.
Now, you know, he's a veteran in the league. He's been around a long time in Green Bay. Like you said, he hasn't done diddly. But I still will say that his strength is catching balls and not blocking. So that's a good thing for fantasy. And he has an opportunity here. So if you need tight end help and you can't get your hands on Jordan Reed, you know, with all the bye weeks, injuries coming up, Quarles is a guy to take a look at. As a flyer, Bill. You know?
Of course, as a flyer.
Yeah. That's, man, it's slim pickings, Bill, on the waiver wire. I mean, I think Jordan Reed, we didn't mention Jarrett Boykin, but we talked about him last week, which is why we didn't mention him this week.
Right.
Jarrett Boykin's another guy that people might have, you know, let slip
neglected
through the cracks. So I would like to mention him. The Packers, he had over 100 yards and a touchdown last week, and he's basically the number two wide receiver right now in the Packers offense.
Yeah.
Craziness. So, you know, again, when you log into your league tonight to put in your waiver claims, you're not going to have a bunch of great options. But you just got to remember that 7 or 8 fantasy points this time of year out of a flex position or a tight end, I mean, that's good. That's good production now.
Yeah.
You know, this is a low-scoring season in the world of fantasy football. I looked at all of my scores from last week, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
In one of my leagues, and everybody's scoring low. It's not just my team. Like, there's a lot of teams that just aren't putting up points because of the buys, because of the injuries. It's just the way it is. You just got to get by and win at this time of year.
Harry Douglas, Riley Cooper, and Jarrett Boykin were 3 receivers that we suggested to pick up last week. This week, Harry Douglas went over for over 100 yards, had a touchdown. Jarrett Boykin, over 100 yards and a touchdown. Riley Cooper, 8 catches for 86 yards.
Yep.
So, you know, when I tell you people, when we suggest people that they pick up Jeremy Curley, Kendall Wright, Marvin Jones, Darius Heyward-Bey, yeah, I realize the Colts are on a bye this week. But you know what? Get him a week ahead of everyone else. It'll help you in the long run.
Yeah. You got to be crafty, Bill. You know, these players aren't just going to fall in your lap. You really got to be, you got to be smart, and you got to be forward thinking to set up your team for success, because you're going to go up against players, Bill, that aren't as savvy,
yep,
and they're going to have some serious holes in their lineup. With all these injuries and the bye weeks, you might be surprised. I mean, I know myself included, Bill, I'm looking at my starting lineup in a couple leagues this week, and I'm like, what a crap lineup I'm putting out there. But then I look at the team I'm playing against.
And they're in the same situation.
They're not much better off.
Right.
You know?
Of course.
And actually, if you look carefully, I actually have more options. You know, granted, the options aren't great. You know, like I have, like, you know, as a running back 3 or flex, I'm looking at like Lamar Miller and Willis McGahee, those types of guys. But at least I have guys, you know, to consider. So it's ugly.
I hear
though.
You. It's I hear ugly. You. Todd, do we want to help out Kevin? Because I know he had some waiver wire questions. A poor kid. He lost Doug Martin, like a lot of our listeners out there. Kevin, do you have a question for us now that we went through the waiver wire report?
No, I just wanted to, basically my one thing that I didn't want to happen was to drop Doug Martin and in like 4 or 5 weeks realize that he was going to somehow come back and try and play.
Listen, he has a torn labrum. They can get 5 opinions on him. And
I'm just not a doctor, so.
I had a torn labrum.
And what happened?
Surgery. Well, I had to have the surgery, and I, you know, I'm not a pro football player, but I really couldn't do anything for a couple months. Like, I couldn't lift my arm. So if he has the surgery, I mean, he's toast for the season.
And, Kev, chances are that the news will come out tomorrow that he's going to be put on IR.
That's what happened. I just kind of wanted to confirm that.
But, you know, don't be a little bit of a scaredy cat here and think Doug Martin's going to come back to haunt you in a couple weeks.
Well, he hasn't. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate because I had, I think, the 4th overall pick, and I took him, and, I mean, it's a high pick to just kind of flush down the toilet.
Yeah, I mean,
not much you can do. I mean,
that's
a
killer.
He was disappointing all year, and then, you know.
Yeah, that's a killer.
You know, this past weekend was really kind of the coup de grace, like, you know, the real kind of nail in his coffin, making him a true giant bust for this year.
Totally agree, but would it hurt worse if he was producing like your number 4 pick should have produced?
Sure, sure.
And then this happened.
Yeah,
then
I've been having to sort of pick up the slack from all year and trying to
right.
go improve the team in other areas.
Yeah, I mean, I have him in one league too, and, you know, he's gone now, but it's like, okay, well, it's not a huge loss.
You know how we were talking in the first hour about, you know, how the days of those true hard-nosed backs that get 30-plus carries a game are sort of going by the wayside these days?
Yeah, sure.
When we were, you know, starting to go through who would want to draft in the top 10 for fantasy this year, he was one of the guys that really leapt out in my mind on kind of a bad team that was really going to get that amount of touches. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody can agree, even though he wasn't really doing anything, he was getting touches to try
fourth
to
fourth most rushing attempts in the league.
You know what I mean?
Tied with Frank Gore.
And he was catching some balls out of the backfield. And you know, when they came up here to play, they lost 23-3, but he was kind of all over the field. He was catching balls out of the backfield. He was running it all the time. I felt you at least felt going into the season that, you know, even though he's playing on a kind of a subpar team, just by sheer volume of touches alone, especially if you're in a PPR, a half-point PPR league, you know, he's gonna make hay, you know?
Right.
Sort of one of those things if, you know, even the blind squirrel finds the nut every once in a while, it's just sort of like he's going to find the end zone and have one of those games every month probably where he has 25 or 30 fantasy points and win you a week. And it just never really happened.
Top 10 rushing attempt leaders, okay? Most attempts rushing the football. Number one, LeSean McCoy. Number two, Marshawn Lynch. Number three, Jamaal Charles. Tied for fourth place, Frank Gore and Doug Martin. Mm. Sixth place, Arian Foster. Seven, Matt Forte. Eight, Adrian Peterson. Nine, Chris Johnson. 10, Ryan Matthews.
Wow.
Rushing attempts. Of those 10 guys, all of them are averaging over 4.2 rush or yards per carry, except for Doug Martin and Chris Johnson, who are in the threes.
I'm just quickly going back and looking at the most attempts throughout the season, because I was saying Chris Ivory had 34 attempts this year. That is the most by any running back. The second most would be Ray Rice, 29. Third most is Bilal Powell, same team, back in week three, and then also Doug Martin, who also had 27 attempts in one game.
Hmm.
So they were feeding him the rock, Kev. They were trying to get him going.
I'm with you.
Well, maybe they'll do the same with Mike James.
Now, does this mean this will be the last time that we ever hear the Muscle Hamster theme music?
Oh.
There we go.
Kevin, is there a way that you can play that music and then slow it down like it's running out of gas?
Yeah, not on this machine, but I could. Have it explode at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Just hamster legs and limbs flying all over the place.
Yeah.
Actually, I lied before. LeSean McCoy, 31 rushing attempts week one.
There you go.
But that's it.
Yeah.
Doug Martin, 29
week
two. Yeah,
Doug Martin this year just equaled kick to the groin for pretty much anybody that owned him.
Started the season out nice, too. Had a big game early in the year.
Yeah, 100 something yards against the Saints or something like that.
144.
I was all excited, guys. I'm only in two leagues, so I'm not in a ton of leagues, and I'd never owned Doug Martin, and I was really looking forward to kind of, you know, drafting a guy I had not owned before and watching him play a little bit closer. And
well, he's only been in the league 2 years, Kevin.
I know, just didn't pan out for me.
Well, that's the thing too, is you have a guy like this, second year player. You're excited, you know, from a fantasy perspective, whether you're able to draft him or not, you're just excited to have some fresh faces that are producing.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it kind of gets old when, you know, you're drafting Terrell Owens for the 15th straight year.
Yeah, I seem that, you know, to speak to that point, Todd, I seem to kind of, especially in my keeper league, obviously because you're going to keep two of your studs, I seem to get a lot of the, I won't say exact same players, but a lot of the, you know, I get a fistful of players that are the same pretty much every year.
That's what Reggie Wayne was like to me.
Yeah,
there you go.
Wayne. And so it was kind of nice to have a true stud, top five overall pick, you know, stud running back.
Right.
To, you know, to get an early pick like I did, get my hands on him, I was like really optimistic and filled with, oh, this could be a great season. Because, you know, unlike, you know, for example, Bill, the last couple years in the keeper league and in my work league here, I had ended up with Ray Rice, which was great, but you would kind of get like pirated a little bit by Bernard Pierce, and Cameron wouldn't use Ray Rice a lot in some situations.
Right.
And it would not only irk the fantasy folks like us three, but it would irk a lot of the Ravens fans because he's obviously the best player on that team and they're not giving him the ball.
Yeah.
So drafting Doug Martin, you knew that wasn't going to happen. You knew he was that true workhorse back. There was nobody that was going to poach carries from him,
nope.
Poach touchdowns. He was going to be active in the passing game with screens. I mean, you thought you were going to get the whole package, and you really just kind of got screwed.
Yeah, you had the same coaching staff, you know. You had a lot of the elements were the same.
Yeah, I mean, I had the chance, Todd, to take Ray Rice again, and I was like, you know what? He's getting older. He's given more carries away to Bernard Pierce. He's been a great fantasy player. He still is. He just frustrates me a little bit the way that he's used at times. And I was mm-hmm. like, I'm going with – and you know what? The week leading up to my draft, we kind of made our minds up on the show here. We were like, we're going with Doug, like, I'm going with Doug Martin, case closed. So, like, I knew who I was going to go with if he was there.
Right.
And he was there. And I was really happy, like, on draft night, you know, when you hit click and submit your pick, you're like, all right, after like a week of 10 days of kind of strategizing, what do you want to do to get your man is like a really nice feeling. And then it just didn't happen.
Do we have to take a break? Because we have a lot of emails to
get to. Let's go tackle some emails. We got some funny emails, too.
Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. We're going to start off the show.
Do you want to start with the funny one?
What's the funny one? I'm just going to go in order.
No, you can't go in order. You got to look at the one at 5:20 p.m.
Freaking hysterical.
5:20 p.m.
There's a great picture on it.
From Todd B.
I only see from Kevin C.
Well, right. Kevin forwards it to us.
Yeah.
Look at the one with the image attached.
What is the subject line?
Waivers.
Forward waivers. 5-9. Oh. Laugh. LMFAOLOL. Oh my God, that's classic.
Yeah.
Look at this.
All right.
Oh, Todd in Jacksonville.
Isn't that great?
This is really funny.
And Todd calls in quite a bit.
I'm going to tweet this out.
Yeah. Todd in Jacksonville, while you're tweeting that out. So. He took an old image of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, like a movie poster, and it's got Bill and Ted on top of the phone booth with all the characters inside, and then George Carlin's head's kind of sticking out of, in outer space with the moon. He superimposed Bill's bald head over Bill and my beautiful profile over Ted, so it's Bill and Ted, and then he's got a
I'm
question
even in
mark.
There.
What's yeah? And Kevin, there's a question
well,
mark
you really
over
went bald there, didn't you?
He's got a question mark over George Carlin's face, where because he doesn't have a picture of Kevin because Kevin is faceless on the internet. You can't Google Kevin Collins and come up with anything. And it says Kevin with severe receding hairline is what he typed in the post. So he's got it all figured out.
Kev, what's your Twitter handle?
At Kevin on call. Yeah. I was dying when I opened that in the studio. That's why.
Funny.
Yeah.
Todd in Jacksonville. That's awesome.
Very
stuff,
clever, man. Todd. Thanks for the.
So you're going to tweet it out, Bill? You got it?
Yeah. Done.
All right. Good stuff, man. That is good stuff. Bill and Todd's Excellent Adventure. Kevin with severe receding hairline. Pretty much sums up the show.
No
fantasy
advice
there, didn't you?
No fantasy advice needed from Todd.
No, he does have a question.
Oh.
He has Gronk, and he's. This is a question for week 10, but he's basically saying Gronk's going to be on a bye in week 10. Should I keep Heath Miller or drop Miller for Reed, Jordan Reed? I would drop Heath Miller for Jordan Reed. Yes.
I would do the same.
I'd rather have Jordan Reed than Heath Miller.
Yeah.
So, and then he's, you know, he says, what if Gronk gets hurt again? Well, then you have Jordan Reed. You're in pretty good shape with him. So that's what I would do, Todd in Jacksonville. Todd, keep the images coming. That was hilarious.
But keep the fantasy wins. That's a little bit more important.
Oh.
I don't know. Does that Photoshop stuff take a long time?
No.
All right. As long as he's not, like, wasting his time doing that and totally ignoring his fantasy team.
No, he should waste more time, especially with the Kevin hairline stuff. The Kevin hair jokes are always worth
How come I'm the only one that takes the heat? Bill's bald, too.
Well,
because I just shaved my head and I own it, man.
There you go.
I'm all about it.
It's not like I have a comb over going on or anything. I have a short haircut.
You know, I was asked if I'm a cop by 4 different women this weekend.
You do look like a cop.
Are you a cop?
You do look like a cop.
No.
You have a very, Bill, this is, I'm going to put this in a very polite way.
Oh, God.
In a flattering way. You have a commanding presence, Bill. When
Bill I thought you were going to say,
I thought you were going to say like a
village
like
people.
No, no. Yeah. When, no. No, absolutely not. When Bill Enright enters the room, people know it.
Yeah, that is true. Mostly because I'm 400 pounds and you can hear me walking a mile away.
See, if Todd in Jacksonville is listening right now, he's going to find a image of the Village People and he'll superimpose Bill over the cop guy.
No, but four different women asked me if I was a cop this weekend, and two of them were sisters, different occasions.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, your sister just asked me that 10 seconds ago. Well, we were
talking. Why didn't she play along?
Because I don't want to be known as...
Book him, William. No?
No.
No law. That could have been fun.
No law enforcement.
Got the handcuffs?
In my blood.
No handcuff action?
Back to the emails, Todd. Back to the emails. Webradiopatriots.com. Hey, guys. Russell in NYC here. Love the show. Said, Kevin, please quit wasting half the show with your nonsense trade ideas. Wow, Kevin getting some heat.
Weak.
That's awesome.
He says, guys, is it time to sell high on Eddie Lacy, or is he a guy to ride
no.
into the foul weather portion of the
ride
season?
Him.
Gotta ride him while
Dude,
he's hot, baby.
I am high on Eddie Lacy, actually.
So am I.
I mean, with all the unbelievable amounts of injuries everywhere, hey, the Packers might rely on that running game even more. Eddie Lacy's
so
great,
too.
Bill. He
yeah,
just needs
really
to get
good.
In the end zone a little bit more, that's all.
Over 100 yards this past weekend. Next email is from our boy Higgins. Hey, guys, need some help. I'm hitting the bye week blues. Need a guy for flex, but I have to drop a running back, Murray or Jeffrey or T. Smith,
all
Corey
right.
Smith. Standard league, many of these guys are on waiver wire. Can you select two in case my top choice is gone?
Boykin. So he's got
He has to drop Murray, Jeffrey, or Torrey Smith.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he says. Are you dropping Jeffrey? Are you dropping? I'm not dropping Torrey Smith. So it's either between Murray or Jeffrey. I don't know who his running backs are.
Well, he's saying if he drops Murray, he would pick up Mike James.
Yeah.
So let's do it by position. If he's dropping Murray, he's doing it for Mike James. Would you do that?
Man, I don't know. I've never seen this kid Mike James really run before, except this past weekend. I don't know. Maybe one of these teams trade for DeMarco Murray. Maybe the Buccaneers trade for DeMarco Murray.
Why? Buccaneers are 0-1 forever.
Because.
How about, okay, so. This list he puts out here, Boykin's definitely, to me, the guy that I would most likely want to have.
Me too.
And if I'm doing it, I'm going to do it for Alshon Jeffrey, not for Torrey Smith. And if I'm doing that, which I'm not super high on dropping Alshon Jeffrey, I'm really only doing it because I'm not sure of the Bears' quarterback situation moving forward.
Correct,
sir. Whereas I know Randall Cobb is out for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers is in. So that's the only reason I'd be doing it.
Me too.
All right. So there you go. But if you want to stay in pat with Alshon Jeffrey, I'm cool with that too. I'm not, you know what I mean? I think that's pretty even.
Yeah, I do. I think you're right. It's funny because he includes, like, Santana Moss in this group. Like, how is that even a relevant option at this point?
No. Lastly, for his replacement quarterback, Bill, who would you play this week? Terrell Pryor, Michael Vick, Andy Dalton.
Dalton.
I agree. Dalton's definitely the safest of the three. We're not sure about Vick, if he's going to play or not, now that this is only Tuesday. And Pryor's kind of up and down, playing Pittsburgh. I know the Steelers' defense isn't what it used to be, but I could see them giving him some problems. So Dalton's definitely what I would do there, Bill. Bye-week problems. Next email is Joachim from Oslo, Norway, Bill.
Joachim? I think it's Joachim.
Is it?
I don't know.
You're usually the one mispronouncing names. Now I'm the one. Now I'm getting into the mix.
You think
Kevin,
it's Joachim?
Kevin,
you
what
think
do you
it's Joachim?
He's called in, and it's like, how do you say Noah's first name? Joachim Noah?
Joachim?
That's how you say it. He's called in and said it's just like it's the same pronunciation as the basketball player.
Joachim Noah from the Bulls?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so we were both wrong.
Yeah. Joachim.
I didn't say that.
What did you say?
Joachim.
Joachim.
It's Joachim. Right,
we'll, Joachim sounds we'll call like it. Some sort of college fight phrase or something. Like gig'em or hook'em. Joachim.
All right, well, he's emailed us from Oslo, so let's give him some help here. Oh. Hey, guys, I'm about to drop Lamar Miller for Jarrett Boykin.
Do it.
I have to do this because all my wide receivers are on bye this week.
10-team standard scoring.
Yeah, he's worried that
this move.
He's worried that Miller's going to explode once he drops him. I don't think so. I'm dropping him.
I'd go with Boykin, too. He looks good.
Yeah, he looks good, and he could be good for a while.
Yep.
Next one is from James, Bill.
Hey, James.
10-team non-PPR. Hey, guys, thanks to you, I'm in he's most back to even. I don't know what he's saying here. Basically, we helped him.
All right, cool.
This week it's going to be hard because he lost Doug Martin. He still has some good depth at running back with Eddie Lacy and no Sean Moreno. Who should he start at quarterback? Matt Stafford or Matt Ryan?
Stafford.
Who should he start as his wide receiver too? DeSean Jackson, Vincent Jackson, or Pierre Garçon?
This week, DeSean, the giant killer.
Hmm.
Unless you want to go with Garçon against the Broncos. I mean, that matchup is...
Well, let me say this. We're not sure who the quarterback is for the Eagles.
I think it's going to be Vic. They said it's going to be Vic.
Is it? I wouldn't say it's 100% yet, though. Unless something
sure.
came out while we're on the air. I'm thinking it's going to be Vic as well. So you still think if Vic's the quarterback, you're going to go DeSean over Garçon?
That's tough. I think they're neck and neck. But I'm benching. I know Vincent Jackson has been hot, but something tells me that Carolina Panthers defense is going to be ready to play against Mike Glennon on Thursday Night Football this week. I'm leaving V-Jax on the bench. It's really between
I'm going Garçon.
D-Jax and Garçon. For me.
I think Garçon is due to break out. He did not score last week, shockingly, and even though the team scored 45 points, they're going to need to score 30-plus to hang with the Broncos this week. I'm going to go with Garçon this week.
Yeah, I'm down for Garçon, too.
All right, flex. Now he's got Vincent Jackson or Garçon or DeSean or Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris.
There you go. There you go, James. Next one is from Ross. Go Pats, he says.
All right.
Drop Lamar Miller for Jarrett Boykin or Jordan Reed. 10-team standard scoring.
Either one of them is fine with me as long as he has the running backs. Like Todd, we were talking earlier saying that Lamar Miller is our second or third running back now because you lose guys like Doug Martin. DeMarco Murray's out. Six other running backs are on a bye this week. So if Ross has the running back depth where he can get rid of a Lamar Miller, then absolutely, you can make that move. Also, I don't know who he needs more, Jarrett Boykin or Jordan Reed. If he's banged up because Randall Cobb or Julio Jones or Reggie Wayne, then yes, go with Jarrett Boykin. If maybe he was looking at, I don't know, a Kyle Rudolph or someone from the, you know, one of the Bengals tight ends or maybe someone like JerMichael Finley.
Yes, I know what you're saying here.
Right, so I don't know who
whatever
who
position
he should
you need
pick
most
up.
Help when you grab one of the guys because we like them both a lot.
But so, the running as long as he has running back depth.
Yes, I agree.
I don't want him to email in and say my two running backs are D'Angelo Williams and Le'Veon Bell. Lamar Miller's my number three because then I would tell him that they'll do it.
I agree. Again, Lamar Miller's going to be a guy. He's going to get you probably most weeks 6 to 8 points in non-PPR, and you got to have to take it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're dealing with now. Okay, next emailer is from Nathan. Bill.
Nathan! What's that show? What was that show on Summer Heights High on HBO? Did you guys ever watch that show? They were in Australia, and it was on HBO. Oh, it was so funny. It was only one season, but the guy did like a second season this year. He dresses up on like as different characters, kind of like what Tracy Ullman used to do.
Okay.
And one of the characters was Nathan. Nathan! He always used to scream it. Oh man, so funny! Summer Heights High. Look it up. It was great. Nathan. Oh, F you, miss. They were Australian.
Jeez.
All right. Anyway, Nathan.
Nathan from the Southern California. He says
the SC.
Hey guys, I play in a PPR league and I could use some help.
Okay.
Question number one: should I play the Patriots defense or the Panthers?
Panthers.
Agreed. Also, wide receiver, PPR league. Should I play Amendola, Edelman, Mike Wallace, or Percy Harvin?
Are you nuts asking me about Percy Harvin and Danny Amendola? It's Tuesday. I have no idea if these guys are playing. He thinks Harvin's out. Yeah, I have no idea. Danny Amendola, no idea. This is a question. Listen, when you're dealing with guys that are injury risks each and every week and they're on the injury report and they've been inactive since, you know, Percy Harvin's been inactive since August. Amendola's been, you know, he didn't play last week, ruled inactive. Those questions come on Sunday morning. I can't speculate now on Tuesday.
Bill's getting
so those are Sunday morning. Those are Sunday morning questions, my man.
Nathan, Bill's getting testy because of you. He has one last note here. He lost Doug Martin due to an injury. He says it might be a blessing in disguise. He was sick of every single time Doug Martin had a nice run. It was called back for holding anyway.
See, well, that's certainly the silver lining. You don't have to worry about Doug Martin.
Next question is from Chris.
Hey, Chris.
I have Doug Martin and Jermichael Finley on my non-PPR team. Now, both of them are down. One of my friends wants Dez Bryant and Romo from me, and I get Forte in return. Is this a good trade? My other quarterback is Drew Brees, and my other receivers are Jordy Nelson, Amendola, Edelman, James Jones, Torrey Smith, and Fitz.
Non-PPR league, Forte to me doesn't have enough value to give up Dez and Romo. He has the luxury of giving up Romo. He has the luxury of giving up Dez because he has Brees and he has some capable other wide receivers. But you have to get better value in return. Otherwise, you're simply just making your opponent's team too good. Too hot to handle.
I agree. I agree. Would you do it, Dez, for Forte?
Now, I would rather see him give up Romo for Forte. Because he has Drew Brees, so give up Romo for Forte.
Yeah. Right? I'm agreeing with you. You give up Dez and Romo, I don't care who you get in return, you're going to help that guy out big time.
Yeah. I mean, Dez has been quiet the last couple weeks, but that's not going to stay true for much longer.
Yeah. He's put in waivers for Mike James and for Jordan Reed from Washington. His other tight end is Jordan Cook. He says he loves the show. Keep up the good work. And Kevin is bald. Yeah. No, he didn't say that. I'm just kidding.
How's it going? Because I thought he did say it.
Yeah, I know. Next one is Josh. He's from Josh. Pat's fan from New York City, Bill.
All right, Josh. I wonder if Josh was at MetLife this weekend watching that idiot Jets fan punch that girl in the face. I can't believe we didn't
Kevin,
talk about that.
Kevin, jump on in here. What did you think of, number one, the idiot Jets fan who punched the girl in the face? And by the way, did you see the history on him? He's
like a murderer, isn't he?
Yeah, he killed somebody in the day.
Obviously, if you don't know him by now, I'm here in New Jersey. Big picture of him on the Daily News today.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should find yourself a safe house or a relative close by. Lay low for a while because you're probably wanted for murder.
Daily News. Jets jerk is a killer. Gal punched thug in 92 stab slight. What a dumbass.
Yeah.
Can I say dumb? I'm sorry. Can I say that?
No, you can say that.
Oh, okay.
You can say that.
That just sickens me, you know? I mean, forget the...
Any abuse is awful, but especially a male on a female is just... over the line, unnecessary.
Do a whole show on this guy. This is
yeah,
ridiculous.
I really could too.
It's ridiculous. Too. I mean, I don't know. It's just this whole thing's awful. Now, Kevin, quickly with the game itself.
Yep.
What's your take on the penalty?
Without sounding like a homer, I think that by the letter of the law and the way the rule was written, I think it's the right call. Mm. I think that. I think that if you're really looking in there and nitpicking at what's going on in that pile, that mass of humanity, there's no argument from my side that there was definitely a shove from Chris Jones into the back of Will Svitek's back. There's no disputing that on my end. But, and this is where I get into a disagreement with a lot of people, whether it's in basketball, whether it's in hockey, whether it's in football. And I'm a guy that, when I was younger, reffed a lot of, like, you know, high school basketball. I did not call the game the same way in the last 30 seconds as I did in the first 30 seconds. I think that part of refereeing and officiating is to not make yourself the story, and it's to let the players decide the game.
I'm with you there.
And I think that, you know... It's just like, to me, you know, people are drawing parallels to, like, you know, these Hail Marys at the end of game, how there's never pass interference is called. Forget that. Like, let's go beyond that even and say you have a holding play, like a, you know, a toss sweep to the right side and the backside receiver 30 yards away from where the ball carrier is commits a hold or a block. You know, I'm a proponent of not throwing a flag on that because it has nothing to do with the play. A lot of people don't agree with me, and that's fine. But I just think that you know, that one pushing action and that call really, like, didn't impact Nick Folk's kick whatsoever. And if you're going to make, you know, your stand as the NFL and the officials wanted to, clearly, I just feel like there's got to be a better time to do it than right there. And I know the Patriots probably should have won the game well before then, and I know they had their chances, and I totally agree with that. But if you're going to stand there and say that, you know, that call didn't have any impact on the outcome of that game, you're crazy.
Well, the story today was that the Jets brought it to the attention of the referees before the kick.
I mean, then good for them. I mean, but it's ultimately up to the officials to make the call. And also, you know, looking at some of the video that I have or have the privilege of looking at, it looked pretty, you know,
harmless.
But also when you look at Steven Gostkowski's game tying field goal, and you look at the way the middle of the Jets line kind of tried to block the kick, it looks pretty much maybe slightly different, but for the most part the exact same thing. And when you watch all field goals, you know, I went in, I keep a lot of the games in the studio while I'm gone on DVR, and I go back and I watched a bunch of field goals from Sunday, and you could really almost call that on probably 75-80% of all the field goals kicked.
Absolutely.
In the league.
That, Kev, that's the point that you need to make loud and clear.
Yeah, and it's,
everyone's doing
and
this.
And it's like, here we go, the rule gets installed in training camp, and I was up in the Red Level press box here at Gillette, and I sat through the officials' symposium and how they explained it and this, that, the other thing. And to have, you know, week 7 kind of, you know, come and 400 field goals, over 400 field goals having been kicked in the league before this moment, to choose this one specific moment just really didn't make a lot of sense to me. And I know I sound bitter and I know I sound like I'm a homer and this, that, and the other thing, but it's just, I have no problem. You know, I'm not going to argue with the rule. I mean, I don't necessarily like it, but a rule's a rule and I get that.
Yeah.
But it's just, to enforce it for the first time in the history of the league on a play of that magnitude on a 56-yarder and make it, by all means, for an NFL kicker, a chip shot, to me, that's kind of messed up.
Well, Ken, I'm going to go with the obvious here. What you just said, that last line, I'm sure many Raiders fans said with the tuck rule.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I mean, the one thing that's a little different on that is,
direct, you know, impact.
Well, and also that play went to review, and it was deemed by the replay official and Walt Coleman that, okay, here's the rule book. We're looking at it in slow motion. You got all the angles, and you know what? It sort of took, when you look at the way that rule is written, it sort of takes opinion kind of out of the question. Where, like, okay, it's plain and simple. Is his arm, regardless of what his intent is his arm moving forward? Okay, we deem that it is. Therefore, we're moving forward with it. This rule, and this call, I liken more, Todd, to like a pass interference call, where it's kind of a judgment call by the official. And when you have it, you know, a game like this, a divisional game that means a lot to both teams, come down to like a pretty basic judgment call, it's difficult to swallow. And,
yeah.
And you know, I get it. I understand why it was called, and I understand why the rule's in place, but I just have a hard time dealing with it. And to be completely honest, Todd, if I was on the couch watching the Chargers play the Cowboys and the same situation played itself out in front of me, I would say, that's messed up. You can't call that right
now. That's what I said. I totally agree.
You know what I mean? So I'm trying to take myself out. I mean, obviously it hurts more working for the team and being a fan of the team, but trying to take yourself out of that kind of way of thinking. If I was sitting on the couch like you guys at home,
yes,
watching two teams that I don't care about play, I would say, you can't make that call right there.
Totally agree.
So that's what it comes down to.
I haven't read into it too much, but the story today again was that the Jets brought it to the ref's attention before the play. Now, if that's the case, at least at the youth level, a referee would then bring it to the attention of that team, saying, hey,
yeah,
kick coming up. You know, I don't want to see any of this pushing in the back. We're going
to
call it.
To me, if you're going to send out – all right, so you send out the bulletin or whatever before this week, and you alert the teams, hey, this is something we're looking for. And then what I do is when the captains come out for the coin toss before the game, I say, all right, listen, you know, this is – we're going to be looking for this, you know, giving both teams, you know, just a heads up. This is what we're looking for. This is what we're cracking down on. We've warned you. You know, that's it, right? If that happened and the Patriots still did it, like, shame on them, you know?
Yeah.
But I just have a hard time believing that's what happened. And I also, Todd, as an official for me, like, I did basketball. I did high school basketball, girls and boys. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times if I saw a kid making a mistake and it wasn't really affecting the play.
You give him a warning.
Yes, I'd just say, hey, you know, 12.
You gotta watch that. I'm going to call next time.
You know, you can't put your hands on him right there, right?
Right.
And if he kept doing it, you'd start blowing the whistle. Or if it affected a play, you know, and that's the way that I officiated. And that's the way that I think most officials should kind of approach their job. Like, you're there to enforce the rules, ensure fair play, and not be the story. You know, let the players decide the game. And that's right. Why I have a hard time with it.
All right.
I hear you.
It was a crazy play. And, you know, one that won't be.
And, you know, I took a beating with my friends, guys, saying, like, oh, you're just crying because, like, you know, it's. And I said, well, you know, if I was a Dolphins fan and it happened to the Dolphins or the, you know, the Redskins, it doesn't matter what team, I would look at the game as a football fan, as a sports fan, and say, you can't throw that right there.
Totally agree.
You know?
That's what
and
I said.
That's the bottom line. The bottom
well, the,
line.
It was kind of funny watching the game, you know, and the announcers didn't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, and I think most of America guys who didn't have a dog in the fight and, like, who was just watching a good football game take place probably thought, yeah, that's kind of a crappy way to end the game.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, well, and then they kind of dug for the replay, and they're kind of like, and then they kind of tried to isolate, you know, the actual perpetrator,
like,
and they were like,
yeah, Logan Mankin said it best, Todd. He said it's ticky-tack.
Yeah.
And in a situation where you're in the last second or in overtime of an NFL game, you know, I know you guys aren't hockey guys per se, but, you know, when you watch the NHL playoffs in the last minute of a game, if it's tied
swallow
up,
the whistle.
You literally have to, like, behead a guy to get a penalty call.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Everything goes out the window. So, like, that's just, I don't know. I just have a really hard time with making an example of somebody in that situation, I guess.
If it came in the first quarter, would you have that bit of a problem with it?
I still would have been like, what the heck is this? But I would have been like, all right, you know, at least it came now and didn't come, you know, and cost us a game.
It's crazy that teams lose a game on calls like that.
Yeah, and then what hurt even more, guys, is you look at the situation. There's about 6 minutes left in overtime. And if the flag doesn't come out, the Patriots get the ball at the 46-yard line, which is where Nick Folk, where the spot was, where he's kicking it.
Now, so, that being said, I mean, the Patriots did have the ball opportunity to score first.
Oh, totally agreed. And they did not take advantage of that. They could have gone down and scored a touchdown and ended the game. But I would like to think, you know, the defense, the Jets got inside the Patriot 40. The defense stood tall. The Jets got really conservative with their play call. And it's something that would have been questioned more. Rex Ryan would have been on the hot seat if that call didn't happen.
Right.
Because he ran the ball into the line three times once they got inside the 40. And the Jets actually, on the second and third down plays, went backwards, Bill, and made an even harder kick.
Right.
And then he shanks it. And then you would have given Tom Brady the ball on the 46-yard line with only about 20 yards needed to go to kick a field goal.
Yep.
I mean, you would have been really, you know, putting the Jets in a dire situation, you know, if that flag doesn't come out.
Jets so won another game earlier in the year on a questionable penalty.
Yeah, on the hit out of bounds, well. Right, on Tampa Bay on Geno Smith. And they
stupid
got the 15
penalty.
Yards.
Was, yeah, stupid penalty.
They've had a little bit of good fortune, but don't take anything away from the Jets. They played really well on Sunday. They got after Tom Brady.
Well, let's close the show on this because we teased Josh, Pats fan from New York City. We're going to answer his questions, and then we went into that rant. So let's answer his question.
All right.
All right, Bill?
Yep.
Changing gears completely. Kevin, we struck a nerve on that one with you, I can totally tell. And rightly
that's
so.
All right.
One
worth,
of the more questionable calls.
Well, it's also like a sports fan reaction, too. You know
it
mean?
Was crazy. It was crazy. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I'm with you. You know, again, watching it on the couch, I thought I said the exact same thing. I was like, 15 yards? I'm like, what? What just happened? And the announcers did not do a good job of explaining what was going on. They
yeah,
didn't really
it's like
either.
It's like remember the Packers and Seahawks game that ended on the golden
well,
tape
was
catch
a
that wasn't a catch.
Yeah,
no, I'm just but I'm just saying it was a call that clearly decided the game.
Yeah.
And everyone walked away with sort of like you can't end the game like that,
sure.
can you? Right? And so
well,
it was like that, it wasn't the same type of thing.
But the ultimate game is the tuck rule.
No,
the
I
rest
agree.
Of America, Kevin, outside of New England, is like they're going to the Super Bowl because of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the ultimate one in the biggest stage of all.
It all evens out, I guess.
Yeah. Oh. All right, Josh, here you go, buddy.
The poor guy.
Bill's going to answer your questions right now. Bill, would you all package right. Eric Decker and Keenan Allen in return to get Mike Wallace and Megatron?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
He's 6-1 in his league, non-PPR. Another question. Do I trade Eric Decker for Antonio Brown and Kembrell Tompkins? Non-PPR.
Yeah, why not?
Another possibility. Eric Decker and Andre Ellington for Antonio Brown and Denny Woodhead.
Yep, doing that one too.
All right, there you go. He says, Brown thanks as always. Brown. Love the show. Pat's fan from New York City. Hopefully he was not in the stadium. And if he was, if you were in the stadium, I hope you found that jackass guy that punched that girl and, you know, shoved him into the wall or something.
And stab someone.
That's
when he was
being
17.
A jackass.
Yeah.
Stab when he was someone when he was 17, another 17-year-old, and kill them.
Unbelievable.
Well, Officer yeah. Bill Enright will be on his tail.
Well, no, this is why I don't like being called. You know, I don't. Not that. It's not that I don't have disrespect for law enforcement. I have the utmost respect from law enforcement. Those that don't take advantage of the badge. But I was reading the story about this Jets idiot. And the whole reason he killed another 17-year-old kid, the whole reason he only served 3 years in jail was because his dad was a cop
yeah,
in the town.
Yeah, daddy was a bigwig cop.
So I hate that kind of BS stuff, man. If you're going to be a person of the law, you have to uphold that law for everybody. Your son kills someone, you know what? He deserves the same sentence of anyone else that kills somebody. He had no special treatment because he was, you know, because his son was a cop. That is such garbage to me. Really, that's what you want to get me fired up. You talk to me about that for 45 minutes. This idiot Jets fan's punching girls. First of all, dude, if you have girls swinging at you, you just back up. You hold down their arms. You kind of like just
take
put,
it.
You take it. You put your hands up in front of your face and let them swing at you. What's the worst that can happen, idiot? That's being a jackass. Play that one.
Or
again.
You could give him a hug.
That's being a jackass.
You just. You know,
world needs more hugs. Bill needs a hug right now.
I've never been in a situation where a girl tried to hit me, so I don't know if I would just, you know, back up or turn away.
Or just
cover my head.
I had a female.
But no situation would I ever turn and swing on a girl. It takes a lot for me to turn and swing on a guy. I've only done it a handful of times. Not good results for the other person. So I'm just saying, you know, you have to.
About 6 years ago, I had a down in Baltimore, I had a female Orioles fan take a swing at me, and I just ducked.
I just, you know, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, it's pathetic. People are just pathetic. This idiot, the Jets. What do they call him? The Jets jackass. Good. I hope his face is on every paper across the country now. Put him on Deadspin. Put him all
over. That's crazy.
All right, Bill. I'm going to cheer you up.
All right. How are you going to do that? Huh? All right. A little Village People to end the show. A little YMCA action. Todd, any closing thoughts before we take off for today?
Hang in there, people. The injury report is a long one, but everyone's in the same boat as you. It's not the end of the world. Make a few smart picks. Build your depth for the stretch run. You'll be okay.
There you go. I want to thank everyone who listened today. You can hit us up. If we didn't get to your questions, you can hit us up on Twitter at FFChamps. And we'll be back on Patriots.com radio on Thursday for Football Nation from 4 to 6 live. And, of course, you can find us on demand via the podcast. Thanks for listening, and best of luck in Week 8.
Rest in peace, Muscle Hamster.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.